Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of On a Heater Podcast, featuring myself, former professional hockey and basketball game photographer, Dashing, and my good, no longer basketball virgin friend, Kiwi, as he's now picked a favorite team. Once again, we are two blundering idiots blundering on about sports. Hello, Kiwi, how are you today?
I am doing well. Definitely not a basketball virgin anymore, but very much still a basketball idiot. But hey, I hope everything's going well. We got a little bit of a different start to today's episode. Wanted to go over something right off the bat and just not necessarily get it out of the way because that sounds very bleak. Yeah, but kind of knock it out so then we can keep going back to the usual scheduled stuff and not have to interrupt in the middle. But obviously, as a lot of people know, we lost a sports legend this week. This past Labor Day weekend, Johnny Gaudreau, obviously involved in a car accident, as well as his brother Matthew, who I believe was a coach for either a minor league team or a junior team or something like that. So
gone way too soon.
Definitely. I mean, 31 years old Johnny was, and I think his brother was 29, something like that. So definitely a big loss for the community. I know that we had just mentioned him a couple weeks ago too when we were talking about the Columbus trades and how
we
knew players were going to be excited to play with him because of, I mean, it's Johnny Hockey, you know. So
no, literally, like, I saw that and I was like, no way, not Johnny Hockey.
I mean he Dashing literally texted me as soon as he got the notification. I had literally just read the notification. It was
couldn't believe
kind
it.
Of a damper to my whole day and our whole weekend, I think.
Yeah.
It's definitely been on my mind every day since. And it's really tough to see. It's tough on the Blue Jackets. It's tough on the family. And I don't know if you've been seeing all the stuff that Calgary, they've been doing at the Flames at Scotiabank.
Yeah. No,
it's humbling. It's humbling.
Absolutely. It's so sad to hear. And like, it's so sad to see. And like, I feel so bad for the community. I feel bad for, like, it's his family especially, and, you know, like, I can't even imagine what they must be going through.
Yeah, I mean, what a way to really, you know, put a stain on a lot of plans that they had there for their family last weekend, as well as you know, this NHL season that's upcoming. Like, that's going to be hard for the Blue Jackets, and I know it's going to be hard for the rest of the NHL community as well.
Oh yeah,
so
for sure.
Yeah, didn't want to go into it too much because I mean I know a lot of people are still pretty emotional about it, myself included. I'm actually,
me too.
I can feel my eyes getting a little puffy just talking about it. So
it's just gutting. But
yeah, our hearts go out to his family and to the community, especially the Blue Jackets and the Flames. So
absolutely.
But moving forward now, let's get into the rest of the news on a little bit of a lighter note. I think we're going to knock it out of the park today. Start with some baseball.
some dingers. Take a little bit of a high note here. We wanted to talk about Scooball a little bit here. Pitching Triple Crown. I saw that you would put that on our notes for the week, and I was also looking, and I was like, Scooball. And also maybe Chris Sale. Like, they are dueling
right. So
they are dueling.
So there's our pitching selections for Cy Young. You know? Right there, trying to set records in the same season as well as win the Cy Young, you know? It's very much a story of like a dueling banjos here where they're just going back and forth at it. See who can play absolutely out of their mind this season.
I mean, they're both playing out of their minds right now. I mean, I think Chris Sale's got a little bit of the edge because he's currently in the lead on ERA and strikeouts, but they're both tied on wins, so I think it's going to come down to who gets the most wins here. I think that's going to be the decider on who gets the Triple Crown, because I think bad loss is going to throw either of these guys out of the contention.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the ERA is close. It's only like 0.0 something, 0.08 or
0.05,
something.
Like 0.05.
Oh, 0.05. So even closer. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure on strikeouts, they're only like 10 or so apart.
I don't think it's five.
Oh, okay, five, so strikeouts. Yeah, very, very close. Very close. So it literally comes down to who has the better rest of the games.
Skuball and Sale both sitting at 16 wins. Chris Sale 2.46 ERA. Skuball 2.51. Oh, so it's sorry. I'm sorry. It's 0.15 for the ERA split. And
Okay,
then
so a little bit tougher of a difference there to make up.
the strikeouts is Sale at 206 and Skuball at 201.
All right, yeah. But realistically, it only takes one bad game for one of them to slip, and
Yep.
obviously we don't want to see that. We want to
No.
both see them just go
Ball out.
fantastic out the
Yeah.
rest of the season. So I know
No
that
dingers.
Detroit's still fighting for a good playoff spot, as well as Atlanta.
Atlanta.
So
Yeah.
both teams are really relying on these pitchers to kind of carry them through into the postseason, and we'll see how it plays out.
Riding on
But
those aces, I really think that I think they're gonna both do something special, going into these last few games here, like the last month of regular season baseball. I think we're gonna see some insane performances.
well, speaking of insane performances, Mr. Ohtani,
Oh my God. Ohtani.
first 43-43 in baseball history. Not only that, but this past Monday, what the second, he stole three bases in the same game.
How do you just do that casually?
I don't know. I don't
You
know. I
just
honestly,
can't.
I my brain can't comprehend. Like I think in my baseball career, I stole a base one time. And I played like 6 years, literally.
I played one season. I never got a fucking hit. So like, take that for what it's
Yeah,
worth.
so obviously, comparing us to Ohtani is not even remotely a thing that we should be doing. But
No, exactly.
he's currently at 44-46 with 22 games remaining as of today, the 5th. So.
Yeah, 44-46. I think 50-50 is absolutely within reason. I think that that is almost I want to say almost a given. Like, I think he's just gonna get
Yeah, so it's definitely,
it.
and I think we mentioned this last week that the stolen bases were going to be the harder ones to get.
He's
Obviously,
closer.
not for him. The
He's
home runs
closer.
are harder, which
Exactly.
doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
So, I don't see him not getting six home runs and four more stolen bases. He did three stolen bases in the same game.
In
Like,
the
come on.
sea, yeah. No,
You know,
it's
so
absurd.
it's crazy. Now, do we think that he could do 16-14?
You think 60-60?
Do you think he could get 60-60 with
Oh my
22 games
God.
remaining?
If he gets
He'd
into
have to
the
average about
listen, listen,
one
listen,
each
listen.
game, right?
Yeah,
So.
if he gets into the 60-60 club, just throwing it out there. If he gets in the 60-60 club, just put him in the Hall of Fame.
I was
Just
just gonna
call it
say,
a
just put him in the
career.
Hall of Fame right now already. Yeah.
Just
Just for first ballot while he's still playing, he doesn't even need to
first
retire.
active player probably into the first ballot Hall of Fame. Doesn't even need to retire. Just put him in the Hall of Fame. Just be done with it. Shohei Ohtani, greatest baseball player to ever live.
Well, I mean,
Sign and
technically he
seal it.
will be in that. He technically he already is in the Hall of Fame, you know, with the
That's
records
true.
that he's breaking.
That's
So,
true. That's true.
yeah, if he gets the 50-50 or the 60-60, he's going to be in there anyways. But
Exactly.
yeah, no, just sign him in. Just
Just put him in there.
pass the votes
Yeah.
around to the whole MLB community, and we'll all vote him in, and then we can just move on. You can delay his little induction ceremony until he retires. But yeah, just.
Just put him in.
It's crazy. He's
Just
crazy.
put him in. He's good. He's good. You pass.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Oh my Lord. Yeah, no, Shohei Ohtani is out of his mind playing this year. I think that he's gonna have a great career ahead of him anyway. I think the end of the season is gonna be wild watching Shohei Ohtani play. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh yeah,
But
and I mean, I'm sure he's just going to turn on the postseason too, you know.
yeah, I think he's gonna light it up for the Dodgers. But you know who else kind of lit up the news coups a little bit? Chapman, San Francisco Giants, signing 6 years, $151 million extension. Third
Good for him.
baseman. Third baseman.
Good for him. Yeah. I mean, obviously this is a an era where the Giants are more or less a shell of their former selves, but
Yeah, not the
to have
same.
a good player like that wrapped up and to be able to have that security in one player like that, that's a good thing for them to start improving again.
I mean, he's hitting great this season. He's got, 22 home runs, 33 doubles, 90 runs total. He ranks third in the National League for BWAR. He's only behind Shohei Ohtani and Francisco Lindor. So, you look at some of those stats that he's got there, and he's up there in the leaderboards. He's no slouch.
Oh yeah, definitely. Honestly, his best year since 2019. So it's been, since COVID, he's kind of been making that rebound to his career, slowly and improving. Didn't have a very great year last year with Toronto, but glad to see that it's working out for San Francisco this year, and be interested to see how much better he plays now that he knows that he's got that money locked up.
And I mean, on that same flip side though, he's hitting great at bat, but I mean, his defensive capabilities are out of this world. So locking up a top tier third baseman like that,
Yeah, I mean, you have to be
fantastic.
just talented in general
Fantastic.
to be a third baseman, let alone a player that's as good as he is with it, with his defensive capabilities as well as his offense ones. But it's good, very good news coming out of San Francisco this year. I don't, honestly, San Francisco is kind of one of those teams that I tend to just forget exists,
Sometimes,
unfortunately.
yeah.
But now, especially now, since they're not the dynasty that they were in the early 2000s, but no, good for them. Bye for them.
Yeah, no, for sure. But tying up great players, there's also the forgettable teams. You were just mentioning the Giants being quite forgettable, but I mean they're still not as forgettable as one team in the Major League Baseball that exists right now, the everybody's favorite Chicago White Sox. They recently, as of this week, they recorded their 20th loss for their starter Flexen. As well, the White Sox are currently on track to break the worst modern Major League Baseball season loss record set by the 1962 Mets at 40-120. Now, they only have 31 wins as of today, September 5th. So they are still in play to be worse than the 1960, I'm sorry, 1916 Philadelphia A's at 36-117. The worst record ever in Major League Baseball was the Cleveland Spiders, the 1899 team at 20-134. And I cannot believe that we are putting them in that conversation of all-time worst teams ever.
I mean, this is whenever you put the Mets in the conversation, that the White that this team's doing bad.
Exactly.
I no flack to Mets, and I'm sure Mets fans are gonna have something to say to me about that. But honestly, you don't deserve the trouble that your team has went through. So let me start with that. But anytime the Mets are brought up for bad records, or any very old baseball team is brought up for bad records, that
It's not good.
it's not good. It's
And
not good.
I know, like it seems like every single week we're talking about the White Sox sucking. It feels like 4 weeks in a row now, all four episodes. It's
I
like
think so, honestly.
White Sox lose again.
Yeah,
But
so.
I mean, it's hard not to talk about them when they're on such a losing streak because it is historic in its own way. And
Right.
I mean, they did just break a 12-game skid. Congratulations, Chicago. All 17 of your fans that were at the stadium that day, I'm sure
I'm not,
loved it.
yeah, no, no kidding. No kidding.
So, I mean, take that as you will. Beating the Baltimore Orioles 8-1. Congratulations. You get a small clap from me. But I honestly, I would really love to see them be worse than that 1916 Philadelphia A's team. I think that would be something special.
Yeah, so I believe they're on track to finish about 36 and 146,
Something like that, yeah.
which obviously back then in the early 19s, late 18s, it was very much they played less games,
They
so
did, yeah.
it was only about 150 games then.
Yep.
So this is now that we play 182, it's a little bit of more
Yeah.
impressive.
More modern baseball, yeah. And I
There's chance
mean,
for more losses.
well, right. So that's why, so I guess that leads into my question, which team is worse? The 1899 Cleveland Spiders, which you and I have never even heard of before,
Haven't.
or today's Chicago White Sox team. The Cleveland Spiders of 1899 played 154 games, and today's White Sox are, playing standard baseball amount. But the fact that they are only on track for 36 wins, the fact that they might only end up with 31 wins total, I'm not gonna lie to you, I think that makes them worse than a team from 1899.
Yeah, because obviously the game's come a long way since then. It's probably a lot harder back then, to be honest. When
Yeah.
you're using a thinner stick, a smaller ball, it's a whole different layout for the field. There's differing amounts of players and whatever.
Oh, for sure.
So the fact that it was so much harder then, and to come into a sport that's so far developed now and just do this
This
poor.
poorly. In a world where you can just open up your checkbook and get a star player, and the fact
Yeah,
that
because
they
even
can't
though
even.
baseball has a cap, like it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
So just sign somebody. Just start buying people,
No,
you know?
literally. It's like you're in a pretty decent city. Like Chicago's not a terrible place to be. Like it's not a top tier destination, don't get me wrong, but it's not, massive, like never go to Chicago, don't go to Chicago. The Cubs are
No,
literally
yeah,
right there.
it's definitely a nice place to be. It's
Yeah.
but and I mean the White Sox obviously are a historical team, not nearly as much as the other team that
The
is in
Cubs,
Chicago.
correct.
But you know, it's just wow. I just
It's just wow.
wake me up when the final record's over and then I'll care again.
Maybe that's the next time we'll talk about that team, but getting that horrible, horrible taste out of our mouth. Moving on to football, Brandon Ayuk, right after we finished recording last week, signed his agreement, 4 years, $120 million. You want to know what's the funniest part about that whole thing? Is that deal was on the table for him for weeks before he eventually signed it.
Yeah, I don't understand signing tactics sometimes. If it's just sitting there and you know that you're gonna take it, why are you waiting so long to take it? Are you just waiting to see that maybe, oh, maybe we didn't offer him enough. Maybe we need to send him another $10 million.
So he signed on August 29th. The deal was on the table from August 12th. So a
See, there's no
good
reason for
three
that.
weeks that he just completely wasted time. I mean, $120 million is $120 million. You're still way up there. I don't even think he's the best wide receiver on their team.
On the
So,
49ers?
no, I don't think he is.
No, because they have well,
They,
first of all, their tight end is better than their wide
yeah,
receivers.
George Kittle, and they also have Debo Samuel.
Deebo Samuels, yeah, I would say he's probably their best
So I mean,
on there.
like, go up and down the list of and they also have Christian McCaffrey, and he's basically wide receiver on top of that. So I
Yeah.
mean, you. Brandon Ayuk is definitely ahead of guys, like Ronnie Bell, Chris Conley, Jake Browning, Juan Jennings, but Deebo Samuel way better, I think, than Brandon Ayuk, and then George Kittle, tight end, but way better than Brandon Ayuk. So
Oh, they have Chris Conley on that team too,
they
so
do, they
I don't know
do.
if you said him or
So
not.
I did, but I think that
Oh.
Ayuk is better than Conley. I
Yeah,
think he's
probably.
better than Conley.
But definitely it's Deebo Samuel being better. So it's just crazy. And I mean, I know I get it because, you know, he was holding out to see if any teams wanted to
Interested.
pick him
Yep.
up. Yeah. So
He wanted
I
to be
understand, but
EA.
at the same time, it's like, dude, if you were going to sign something like that, just sign it with the 49ers and
Right.
shut up.
No, exactly.
If
You're
you're
on
on a good team,
a
you're going to
good
get a lot of
team.
money. Just shut up.
Exactly. It makes me a little irked, 'cause it's like, man, $120 million on the table, and you're looking to, move to a potentially worse team for
And
what?
maybe and try and make like $10 million more or something
Right.
stupid.
Like, come on. Just sign
Yeah.
the deal.
So,
Come on. You're on a
come on,
winning
come on, dude. I get
franchise.
hourly, and my insurance benefits aren't that great at my job. But yeah, let's cry over $120 million on a Super Bowl contender.
Let me just hold out for a competitor to sign me to a better insurance
No,
deal.
no, literally, it's just stupid. It's stupid.
But stupidity aside, and contracts aside here, we have some rookie captains coming into the league here. First game's coming up this weekend, Kiwi, and I know you're fairly excited about one of them.
You guys are watching on YouTube right now. I finally, brand new, I brought out the Caleb Williams shirt today.
Oh my
So,
Lord.
yeah, we have some historical rookies getting
Two of them.
captaincy. Wow, I cannot say that word today.
Captaincy.
Captaincy today. Yeah, so Caleb Williams being named one of the eight captains for the Bears. First rookie in Bears history, actually, to be a captain. So that's pretty impressive.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Obviously, they have a lot of faith in him, so that's a great sign. And I think taking on that leadership role right off the bat is going to be good for him too, because he
There's,
just seems like that fits his MO.
and it's also something to speak volumes of, like, what kind of character he has, because there's a lot of veterans on that team. He's not
Oh yeah.
the most seasoned guy there, and usually, vets are captains, guys that have been around the locker room a while. This guy walked in day one and they're like, you.
It's gonna be him,
It's
yeah.
gonna be
I mean,
you.
they're setting him up for success. They're finally build something around a quarterback for once, which has been one of our
It's
biggest
what they
problems.
needed.
We get these great talented quarterbacks, but we just don't put any.
Don't
We
do
don't build
anything.
around them.
Exactly.
We just leave them there and tell them, poke them with a stick and say, do something.
Good luck.
So, yeah, literally. And then also coming out of Denver, Bo Nix named captain, first rookie starter in season opener since John Elway in '83. And first rookie since Hall of Famer Floyd Little in '67.
Yeah, which, I mean, he came out and said, this is an absolute privilege, which, boy, it is, Bo. And honestly, I think that he's earned it. He did great in college. They have high hopes for him coming into the season. From what I saw in the preseason, pretty damn good. Say, it's the same thing, with Williams. It's these young guys coming in and getting the nod because they showed up and they proved it in preseason. So let's see if it translates. Let's see if it carries over. And let's see how they do going into this regular season. I think
Yeah, and
they're both going to be great.
definitely a slightly different vibe coming out of Denver for Bo Nix too, whereas they don't have all of those pieces in place right now, so they're setting him up now so that they can continue to build around that. Whereas Chicago is more of they had everything set up, they just added Williams in as the
Right.
last piece.
Yep.
So a little bit different areas of progression there, but definitely excited for both of those players and to see how they perform, and hopefully they're great leaders in their rooms.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I look forward to it. I want to see what they can both do. And I really have, some good hopes for both of them. I'd love to see them both succeed. I would
Oh,
love for that to happen.
I love seeing the rookies just ball out and
Yeah.
be amazing
Have
athletes,
great careers. Like, there's been a lot of talk about, like, young guys coming in and, like, not being NFL ready, but I think that these young guys, I think that they can come in and they can be ready, and I think that they're going to do great. So, and I'd love to see it.
And I'm excited for this class too, because this has been the first time in a while that we've had a really solid class of a few
Yeah.
quarterbacks come in
Right.
and just take over and be the new age. I mean, honestly, since we were kids and it was, Drew Brees, Marcus Mariota, all of the Kirk Cousins, all of those guys
Yeah.
coming in really holding it down. Then there was a little bit of a lull. Yeah, we got a couple good quarterbacks like Mahomes in there and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen all came in. around there, but
Andrew Luck.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he didn't last very long either.
Well,
So
Indianapolis didn't do any favors.
Wow, yeah. But I mean, the injuries also didn't do him any favors. But yeah, so this is like the first time that we've seen a really solid class of quarterbacks just come in and hopefully just take over the league. And hopefully we'll see them for the next 10 to 20 years just balling out, doing whatever,
I'd
you know?
Absolutely love to see that. I want to see a very competitive league this year compared to what it has been. It's felt like such a lull in talent, even though a lot of talent coming up have been so great. I just feel like the league has sort of like lulled a little bit, and I want to see it raise back up quite significantly.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Moving
forward though, we have a little bit of drama coming out of Washington right before my prediction of their great season.
Yeah. I also predicted some pretty decent things for them. But yeah, the commander is first suspended, now fired, their vice president, for comments that were made against their players being anti-gay. They accused the Cowboys owner Jerry Jones of being a racist and called NFL commissioner Roger Goodell a $50 million puppet. I don't know what, you know, brought him to say that about those people. He also criticized fans and called them mouth breathers, which
I saw that one.
Oh my god, that guy just was like, you know what?
Screw my job. Yeah, so he just went for blood. I can't believe that he came out and just said everything that everybody was thinking already.
Mm-hmm.
Kidding. But
for legal reasons, yeah, this is a joke.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, you know, there's jokes and memes thrown around about exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
Whether you believe him or not.
Mostly the mouth breather things.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I mean, have you seen the Chiefs fans? No, kidding. Kansas
for,
City, before you come, before
for
you
legal
come
reasons,
for
this is
before
a joke.
You come for me.
For legal reasons,
not,
this is a
not
joke.
Not kidding about Eagles fans though. Did you see, taking a side note here, did you see they were rated the worst fans in football?
Well, it's because they are. I mean, they have a prison underneath their stadium.
Led by the statistic that they are the most likely to start a fight just randomly.
I mean, there's a reason that they have a holding cell underneath their stadium.
Yeah, so maybe mouth breathers there, but otherwise, yeah. I don't know what spurred him to say this, but I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, no, the whole thing is just so comical, and like when I saw that, I threw it on there, and you even asked me, you're like, do we really want to talk about this? And I went, it's just because it made me laugh.
Yeah, it is pretty comical, but definitely just one of those things that would be good grief. I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't even know. But
good God.
Moving into the beginning of the season,
today,
we thought once again we'd do some more predictions for you guys.
A little bit,
yeah,
of pickums.
It's today. Is there a game tonight? There is a game tonight. Baltimore and Kansas City tonight. Yeah.
As of recording this at 6:53 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the game is literally about to begin. So these predictions, I want everybody to know, are before the games start.
Yeah.
So when this episode releases tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., Thursday Night Football will have already happened. But these predictions happened before the game started.
Yep. Yep. So this will be definitely make sure to blow us up in the comments about how stupid we were for picking the wrong team.
No, literally. But to lead us off, Thursday Night Football, Kiwi, Baltimore at Kansas City tonight, September 5th. Who do you got?
I got Baltimore.
Baltimore. Interesting.
I got Baltimore. Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it week after week. Kansas
mm-hmm.
City has no receiving room.
They don't
Travis
have anything.
Travis Kelce is their only receiver. He is the only one who will catch the ball, basically. So it's going to come up to, if Kansas City decides to win, it's going to come up to Mahomes' legs and Kelce's hands.
Their run game,
and their
for sure.
Defense, and their defense.
Game.
So, very much, I'm very much on the Baltimore Lamar train tonight, and we'll see how it goes. It's at Kansas City, I believe you said, right?
Yep, at Kansas City.
Arrowhead, I'm sure, will be nuts
Oh, it's gonna be
tonight,
insane.
regardless. So,
Insane tonight.
and I did hear she's going to be there.
Oh, good Lord, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. Enough, please.
She's
But
going to be there.
as for my pick on this Thursday, I also have Baltimore. I'm sorry, listeners, viewers, not much diversity here. I also believe Baltimore is the way better team of these two. Feel free to kick me in the balls when I'm wrong, but even though I have Travis Kelce on my fantasy team, I cannot and I will not ever, quote me ever, bet on the Kansas City Chiefs. I just don't like them.
So glad you said that. I forgot to set my fantasy team. Do I have a Chiefs or Ravens player? Hold on,
Oh my
guys.
God.
Quick minute right here in the middle of the podcast. I gotta check my fantasy team. Oh my gosh, this is an emergency.
The on a heater fantasy team being
No,
checked
literally
live.
right now, mid-check, mid-podcast. Oh my gosh, we can even cut this out if we need to, but good grief. We can continue talking while I'm checking.
But no, yeah. So like I have Travis Kelce on my fantasy team and I'm perfectly okay with that, and I feel like he's gonna ball out because he's their only wide receiver, even though he's a tight end. He's definitely a wide receiver. Tell me I'm wrong, everybody. But no,
All right, we're
I
good. We I
think
don't have I don't have any Thursday night players.
okay,
So
perfect.
we're good. We're good. I don't think I have any Friday night players either, so definitely good.
I think I do have a Friday night player. I think AJ Brown is the Eagles wide receiver. I think that's my only Friday night player. But yeah, no, I just think that Baltimore is the better team here. I think the depleted Kansas City Chiefs, you already said it, and I think the only way they win is if Mahomes does Mahomes things, they get into the run game, and the defense shows up. I think that's the only way.
And Kelsey trucks
And
somebody for a touchdown.
yeah, Chelsea. Chelsea, Travis
Kelsey.
Chelsea.
Travis Kelsey.
Travis
Yeah.
Chelce. Travis Chelce does what he does.
Speaking of Friday night's games,
It's Friday night game, Green
Green
Bay and
Bay at
Philadelphia.
Philly, not
But
really at Philly, but actually in São Paulo.
São
São
Paulo.
Paulo. So.
Oof.
How are you leaning? Are you going for the classic Green Bay uniforms and a stupid decision, or are you going for those clean Eagles alternates?
You know, I was literally just marking down that I was gonna pick the Packers, but on second thought, I'm actually going with the Eagles. Not because of their uniform, no. It's because of the moves that they made in the offseason. I think that they've made a lot of decent moves. I think they made a lot of solid moves. Signing away Saquon Barkley from the Giants is gonna be insane for their run game. And, you know, I don't fully believe that running backs win football games, but they sure as hell do give some credit to it. So I think with Jalen Hurts being, you know, a subpar quarterback, sorry, Eagles fans, that's just what I believe. I think that they're probably going to beat the Packers because Jordan Love just, he's Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre 2.0, 3.0.
So, as much as this pains me to do this, I'm going to go the inverse and I'm going to say the Packers.
The Packers, interesting.
I think, and for pretty much actually the same reasons you just talked to, I don't trust Jalen Hurts' first game of the season.
He's always bad. He's always bad.
It takes him a couple games to get going, and then he starts to fall off at the end of the season anyways. So, he's very much a middle of the season kind of player. So I don't think he, and I think the atmosphere of São Paulo is just gonna throw him for a loop.
Oh, I think they're gonna be nuts.
I think Jordan Love has it probably pretty much on lockdown. I do know that I believe Green Bay is the favorite team in Brazil.
I think so.
So there's gonna be an insane amount of Green Bay support there. It's gonna be like they're at home.
I could see that.
It's gonna be like right like they're at Lambeau. So I don't foresee them. I mean, I it's gonna be a close game.
I think so.
I think
it's going to be a one score game.
And it might look like two fish just out there flapping around and on dry land.
Maybe.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But yeah, so Thursday night football, Friday night football, back to back, you know, nights of games here, which is going to be freaking phenomenal. Maybe we'll even try to figure out how to stream this on YouTube. You know, one of the games, maybe we'll do like the audio sort of reaction if we're around feeling up to it, and can figure out how to go live on YouTube for it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or no Twitch kidding. Or whatever. But Sunday night football, LA Rams at Detroit.
So this is the matchup. This is the matchup that I want this weekend. This is the favorite one. This is the one that everybody's going to be watching.
Oh yeah.
Does Matt Stafford get his revenge?
And see, you could say the same thing about Jared Goff. You know, Jared Goff, Matt Stafford, this is the swap right here. Who wins this game? And I'm not going to lie to you. Years ago, when this trade happened, I would have told you Matt Stafford wins 10 out of 10 times because he's the better quarterback here. He is the better veteran. He is in the better team. But now I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the better quarterback...
If you give a mouse a cookie, if you give a quarterback some weapons, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows to what Jared Goff has done. He's dialed into what he's been given, and
I'm thinking the Lions.
I mean, that's our Super Bowl champion
prediction. That's our Super Bowl champion prediction, yeah.
So, you know, obviously we're very high on the Lions this year, and mm-hmm. I don't see any reason not to be. I mean, yeah, the Rams are going to be a solid team again this year. I believe I picked them to win the division.
You did.
Last week.
I believe you did.
So, it's going to be a tough game again, but in Detroit again, here comes Matt Stafford back into Detroit. A little less pressure this time. It's just the first game of the season, not a playoff game.
But I think Detroit's going to go nuts.
Oh, yeah. I'll probably be able to hear freaking Ford Field from my house.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I don't even live that close, you know. So,
yeah.
But I got Detroit too as well.
Yeah. No,
I think that's what I use in.
I think that's a solid pick. I think it's honestly going to be the right pick. I can see it being a close game. I can also see this game being a blowout. Surprisingly, I could see Detroit. Yeah. I could see Detroit running away from LA in this one.
It really just depends on how Stafford's feeling first game of the season.
That's literally what it is. If Stafford's on it, if he's feeling good, I think it'll be a close game. If Stafford even struggles a little bit, I think that Detroit defense is just going to eat him, and I think that the Lions offense is just going to ball out.
Yeah. I mean, you might even be hearing Jared Goff's chants from your house.
No, literally.
And that's really fun. So,
no, literally.
I guess we'll just have to see here. But wrapping out the week, our Monday night primetime game.
Jets,
49ers.
Why is this
a primetime game?
I'm not going to lie to you. The only reason this is a primetime game is because Aaron Rodgers, attempt number two coming out. I hope to God, you know, he doesn't freaking blow his knee out again.
So obviously for his health and the integrity of the league and everything, we want him to remain healthy.
Yes.
God, wouldn't it be so freaking funny if the exact same thing happened again?
I would laugh so hard. Bro runs out with that flag one more time, blows out his other ACL. I would have a heart attack. Instant heart attack from laughing. It's just not because it's funny to watch players get injured. It's not funny. It's
not
tragic.
No, yeah.
But I just, there's something
but
about
just for the, yeah, the fact that the how memes, they always
dude,
say
the memes, dude.
If I had a nickel for every time that Aaron Rodgers blew out his knee, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's funny that it happened twice.
No, exactly.
That's this. So
the whole thing is though,
he doesn't, and hopefully it's a great game and whatever, but I mean, is there any way that the Jets even win this game?
No way. No, it's the New York Jets. I never expect anything from the Jets, even when they were a playoff team, a fringe playoff team, although they were one game away from a championship game with Mark Sanchez that one year. But
True.
even still, it's like, man, it's the Jets, guys. It's the New York Football Jets, not the New York Football Giants, the New York Football Jets. And
not the Washington Football Team.
No.
Yeah, the New York Jets.
The New York Jets. I think we're
not
both,
the Winnipeg Jets.
No. I think we're both Jets. Pretty lockstep here. The 49ers are going to walk away with this one.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
They're going to walk they're at home, 49ers. Brandon Ayuk signed to a fancy new deal. He's going to want to ball out. Christian McCaffrey's looking doubtful, but I think he'll be fine. You know, Deebo Samuel, Brock Purdy, they got something to prove after last year, and I think they're going to.
Tonight's game doesn't start until 8:20, by the way.
You are correct for tonight's game. Yeah.
We still have over an hour.
Yeah.
But anyway, regardless, we came out before the game, so don't
We did.
Yell at us for rigging our predictions. Not primetime games, but do we want to go over two more games for this week? Two Sunday games?
Yeah. We could talk about those two Sunday games. New England, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And the other one
Tennessee, Chicago.
I'd love to see my Patriots win a game, but I think Cincinnati.
Joe Ice Cold.
Joe American Nightmare. Joe Cool. At home, 1 o'clock. No Jamar Chase, no problem.
It's hard to root against your team, but at the same time, it's hard to root against Joe Cool, you know?
No, exactly.
So it's yeah, I don't think this is anything less than a Bengals win, unfortunately, for the Pats, but
But wouldn't it be so cool?
End up being a good game.
It would be so cool if I could watch my team win a game this year. But
and if it's a big enough blowout, maybe they'll throw Drake May in for a little bit.
Listen,
you know?
I mean, if that's the case, you know, then I'm all for it. But I think that we're not going to see Drake May for like 3 or 4 weeks, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, probably not. I'm sure they'll ride Brissett out for a couple of weeks just to see how he does, and then. They need to make the change, they'll make the change. But yeah. Moving over to a game that probably will be a little bit closer, but maybe not too much closer. Titans-Bears. In Chicago.
Caleb Williams' debut game.
Regular season debut.
What do you think?
I mean, I don't think this is anything less than a win for the Bears. The Titans are, as we've referred to them lovingly for a couple of weeks, the seniors club.
Yes, it is.
They don't have a lot going on for them. They're starting to get older. It's just not looking great in Tennessee. They're looking towards a rebuild. But I do have to say that if we were going to lose to a team, it would be the trap team of the Tennessee Titans. So,
that's true. But I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I think that ultimately the Bears will be fine. I think Caleb Williams is going to have a hiccup maybe in the first quarter, but then the last three quarters of the game, he's just going to ball out. And I think they're going
to
do
it. I wouldn't be surprised to see him throw his first interception today just solely off of nerves.
Exactly.
He doesn't get nervous is what he says, but it's his first regular season game in the NFL. He's never had this experience before.
Exactly. In Chicago.
And he's playing a pretty okay team.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, not like not the Carolina Panthers, but also not the Detroit Lions. Exactly. So, you know, I think he'll be fine. I think, yeah, like you said, he'll have a little hiccup in the first. He'll find Keenan Allen. He'll find Odunze or somebody and just launch one down the field and we'll get a touchdown. And then that'll be the pace for the rest of the game, you know. So,
yeah. And, you know, we'll revisit some of these picks next week. Maybe we'll start off with football, try to rearrange how we do these guesses, you know, week to week, as well as like readdressing how we're doing record wise on our guesses. We'll figure that out as we move on. But as we continue to a different sport, we're changing to one of our favorite sports, hockey. A pair of season ending injuries out of Carolina, first with Jesper Fast likely out for the season after having surgery on his neck earlier this month, as well as your St. Louis Blues there, Torrey Krug, D-man missing the should might be missing the season due to ankle surgery. I think both of those guys, just kind of rapid firing them there. Both of those guys are massively important for their teams, and both of them are going to be sorely missed.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, Fast is an incredible forward. He's just very talented. I think this surgery kind of came out of nowhere. They kind of just were like, did a checkup on him, and they're like, hey, you might need this. And then all of a sudden, it was like, boom, you do need this. So
Well, he hurt his neck in the final game of the season last year.
that's right. That's right. So it's been kind of lingering over the off season, and I think they realized, hey, we got to take care of this. So it's very unfortunate for Carolina, who's very much trying to stay competitive. I don't think it'll set them back too much.
I don't think so.
And I'm not sure. Did it say what his cap hit was, right? Handily, we don't have to. I don't have to go super. I don't think it's a ton,
I
but
don't think that they.
he's probably like a $3 million contract, if I had to
I
guess.
believe so. I'm not too
You know what?
too
Let me
sure
just
what it
pull it up right
is.
now for I can have it in like 2 seconds. That's
But
not the correct team, though.
I do know that Krug from 2019 signed a 7-year, $45.5 million contract. So, I mean, having that, cap hit is going to be tight for the Blues, but I think that overall, I think the Blues will be fine too, missing out on Krug.
Fast 2.4. This is actually his last season before he
Oh,
has to
okay.
get a new contract.
Perfect.
So
That's
the
actually.
Hurricanes were only at 80,000 in space, so taking this 2.4 off the books is definitely going to help them. They can probably get a little bit of a depth piece to help out there.
And honestly, at 32, I mean, he's probably looking at basically a re-up on his previous deal.
And obviously we knew this was coming. That Krug was going to be out this season. Whenever it was kind of first came out that he might need this, everybody just kind of assumed that this has been plaguing him for a while with this
Long
ankle.
time.
It just actually dates back to when he was in with your Boston Bruins
In
and broke his
2018.
ankle in the playoffs.
Yeah,
Yeah.
2018.
So that's actually this injury. It got arthritic, and now he's got to have surgery to get that repaired. Definitely going to be out for the season. This is not something that you can come back from easily. Are we going to pull a classic Vegas Golden Knights here and activate him day one of the playoffs if we make it in? Who knows?
Although the Blues over the next 2.5 two years, I believe, they're gonna get relief, $6.5 million
Yeah,
from
so
Krug.
we have very much set ourselves up well. We added a lot of pieces. Freed up some cap space, and now with Krug going under the IR, that's even more. It's six, yeah, 6.5. So we're gonna have almost $8 million
To play with.
free up that we can add, and we've added all these nice young kids in the offseason. So it's kind of the thought that Armstrong knew that Krug was gonna have to get this surgery, so he started making all of these moves in ahead of time in preparation for this. So
But yeah, so a couple of, big injuries, but a couple of big signings too, going on with Seth Jarvis, Leon Draisaitl, both signing pretty decent contracts.
yeah.
Jarvis 8 years, 7.9 a season. Draisaitl 8x14. It's like, ooh, big money, big money, no whammies.
Yeah, so we were definitely, Jarvis was one of those we had on our radar. We were waiting to see how long his holdout was going to take on that. And obviously, Carolina came to an agreement with him, probably a little bit because they knew
Fast.
Fast was going to be out, so they wanted to make sure that they got Jarvis locked in. And I mean, great young kid, very
22.
talented, amazing. This is a steal. This is going to be a steal in 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a steal. 8 times 8, basically, 3 years from now, it's going to be a steal. He's going to be a, he should be way more than that,
He's
in my opinion.
Bro is 5'10, 184 pounds. He is an excellent skater, excellent player. I think they're gonna do wonders with this kid.
Yeah,
22 years old.
absolutely.
22.
And then keeping with the excellent players signing big contracts, obviously, as you mentioned, Draisaitl, they got that extension done in Edmonton. 8 years, $14 million. He still has a year left on his current contract, so that doesn't start until next year. So don't worry about their cap space going crazy, more crazy than it already is. But definitely something to keep in mind. This is obviously a signing in anticipation of the cap going up the 5% for the next 2 years.
Absolutely, it is.
I'll be interested to see what the two contracts next year look compared to this. So there's,
I
I
think
mean,
they're
in
going
my
to be,
opinion,
I think, comparable, honestly,
I
comparable.
mean, in my, right, in my opinion, there's no way now that McDavid asked for anything less than like 15 and a
No,
half, right?
he definitely gets like 15, even maybe 16.
That's what I'm thinking is probably
I could see
16.
16.
So that begs the question, with those two making $30 million, you have Darnell Nurse making almost 10,
He's gonna be gone.
and
Nurse is gonna be gone.
you think that, okay, so that's where I was going to
I
get
think
into.
Nurse is gonna
With
be gone.
having four or five players being like 30% of their cap space, do you think that a Darnell Nurse buyout is inevitable?
I think so. I could see it happening. I could see Darnell Nurse buyout happening. I could also see a trade of some kind happening. You know, maybe try to get some kind of, trade value out of him. They paying a lot of, him a lot of money, yes. But I think that they can still get some value out of him that maybe they can pick up, a young defensive guy, lower contract, that they can maybe push for the future to sort of maybe have some semblance of replacement. Because I think, nothing against Nurse, he's a great player, but it's a little high for what I think he's worth.
So let's see here. He just started. So he has a full no move clause.
Oh, so it's gonna be a buyout if anything, unless he waives the no move clause.
Right. But starting year six of that contract, it just goes to a no trade clause.
Okay.
Obviously, because he has some age coming into that factor as well.
Right.
It's funny, look, sitting here looking at Puckpedia for all this information. They have the buyout calculator right there at the bottom for
Oh,
him.
goody.
So, it tends to be, I think a lot of people are looking into that being very much a possibility for
Probably,
him.
probably.
So a buyout cost would be 18.4 over what he's got, how many years left on his contract? Six, I believe. So
He'll probably get bought out.
still about $3 million a year that they would have tied up that they're paying him.
Yeah. But that's not as bad as what, he's making, so.
Right. So it'll
But
be interesting to see.
with that in mind, with contracts being talked about, I only want to touch on this because, we talked about it a little more in depth previously. The Bruins disrespecting Jeremy Swayman like they have been has been such a ugh, just a blech, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, the info came out this week. I was listening to another podcast and they said, yeah, I mean, this is what's happening. And I was just taken aback. I was like, oh my God, I can't
Gotta
even
put
believe that
away.
they would offer that and disrespect him in this way. So let me just put this into perspective here. I'm actually going to pull up the exact message that I sent you when I heard that, because I was just speechless in my car
I mean,
driving
I
home.
was a little speechless that to hear that they hadn't even talked to him in so long. I wasn't totally blown away or like worried about the money amount that they offered him because that was roughly in line, with the dollar amount that I said that they would probably offer him.
So yeah, so you said if he was going to do like a midterm contract, kind of hometown discount, that would be about the ballpark. So the offer currently from Boston is 4 times 6.2.
Right, which is roughly what I was saying that they were going to offer him.
I think that's a horrible offer, obviously.
Yeah, it's
We had
super
different
low.
opinions.
Super
We
low,
had different opinions.
yeah.
Yeah. He is at least an $8 million contract, I believe. An eight times eight,
I wouldn't
I
be
think.
upset. I wouldn't be upset if it was an 8x8, mainly for the purpose of like
Your other
our
goalie
other goalie isn't the
is Korpisalo.
greatest. Exactly. They traded away Ullmark, so they gotta sign Swayman. They need Swayman unless they're looking for a rebuild at goalie, but they still got offensive pieces that have the capabilities to go out there and compete for a cup. And if you're not gonna put base into your goalie, then obviously you're looking at going for a rebuild, which
Yeah.
Boston doesn't seem like they're doing. So
They don't need one. They don't need
what's the
one.
holdup,
So, and then on top of that, as well as Dashing touched on, Boston has not returned Swayman's phone calls about making a deal for 3 weeks.
Insane. That is insane to me. It's insane.
It's just, it's disrespectful.
I don't know how you do a guy like this. Like, you trade away his buddy and then you just don't return his calls. Like, if you want to break up with someone, just do it. You know what I
No
mean?
kidding.
Like, you ain't
This
gotta
is like
ghost him.
I foresee a text message coming in like, "Hey, we traded you to
Like,
Anaheim."
this is worse than my ex-girlfriend. Like, I can't even believe this.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. The viewers don't understand that reference, but wow. Very much just disrespectful to Swayman. I mean, he's a talented player. He is their future. They made that known when they started even giving him the opportunity with Allmark still there. It doesn't make sense to me.
It makes
And
zero
honestly,
sense.
it's one of those things again that I'm just kind of tired about talking about because it's like, just sign the freaking guy.
Just
Just
sign
give
him.
him the money that he wants, shut up about it, and have your star goalie, possible multi-year Vezina winner in the making,
Like,
just have him.
what are you
8 years,
doing? What are you
$8 million.
doing?
Your cap's going up 5% for next year and the year after, and then may still continue to go up after that. This is going to be a steal of a deal come like 4 or 5 years into this contract
Yeah.
when Jeremy Swayman's standing on his head playoff after playoff for the Bruins
Tim
and he's making
Thomas,
$8
Tuukka Rask,
million.
now
Just
Jeremy
freaking
Swayman.
pay him.
Like, come
Just
on.
freaking pay him.
No, literally, like, are they scarred from like the last few years of Tuukka Rask? Like, do they think that they're gonna have another situation like that on their hands? But like,
You have like
even
basically nobody locked up long term that isn't a just a established producer for you. Why are you worried? One contract is not gonna break you, and it's Jeremy freaking Swayman.
No, literally. Like,
I just
this guy was like their guy since they drafted him.
we'll talk about this in a future episode when there's an actual development because
I
this is pissing
that's
me
why
off.
I wanted to like just touch on it, just breathe on it a little bit, you know, not get into a 20-minute tirade over
Let's move on
it.
to some good news. Mark Stahl, New York Rangers. He's hanging it up after 17 years.
And you know what? Good, because I don't like the Rangers. I don't like a lot of teams. So, but no, in all seriousness, Mark Stahl, great player, absolutely 17 years in the league. Bravo, you know, go enjoy playing golf, you know,
I guess I should
whatever you want to
clarify. Used to be long time Rangers player, then played for the Red Wings 2 years, the
Yeah.
Panthers, the Flyers, you know.
This, that, the other
He
thing. He was on the league.
got sent around on the market for a little bit there towards the end of the career. But long time player for the Rangers, definitely a talented player.
He's not leaving the league though. He is joining the Rangers as a player development assistant.
Yeah,
So,
moving right into that position. So good
boom.
for him.
Good for him getting a job right away. You know, it's very,
Right,
very
yeah,
awesome.
I know sometimes it's tough for hockey players to kind of land on their feet and decide what they want to do after retirement. So I'm glad that he got something right away and that he's going to be happy with that most likely. What do we think? Hall of Fame?
I think he's Hall of Fame. I think he's Hall of Fame eventually. I don't know about first ballot. I think eventually.
Yeah, I don't foresee first ballot. I mean, I'm just roughly looking at his career stats here. So over 1,100 games played, which is always fantastic to see. Only 53 goals. I mean, he is a defenseman, so you know. Assists though, 181 assists, 234 career points. Finishes his career with a plus 52, which is very
That's
good.
really good.
537 penalty minutes. So
Hey,
definitely carried his weight as a defenseman. So I think
Mark,
I could see it.
congratulations on a great career.
Yeah, great career.
Great career.
Definitely should not ever be upset with how it went.
No.
And hopefully his retirement from playing and his new job with the Rangers goes well for him. And yeah, happy for him.
Yeah, no, for sure. And taking a break, little breather from hockey, moving on to basketball. Not a lot of NBA news out there. We had a few NBA stories, but we've been talking about the WNBA a lot, like a lot.
Oh yeah.
And it's gonna slow down. I promise all you viewers. I know you don't come here for WNBA news. You'd rather us probably talk about the NBA. But when news is slow and we got to talk about other things, and with some huge name rookies going on right now, like Angel Reese, most double doubles by a rookie consecutively, 15 in a row, kind of insane. And then she
Yeah.
holds now the single season rebound record. Kind of back-to-back record-breaking right there. Angel Reese putting up a good candidacy for Rookie of the Year. I don't think she's going to get it. I
No.
don't think she deserves it over Caitlin Clark. But as a number two, and as someone else who brings eyes to the WNBA, I think she does a damn good job.
Yeah, I mean, she packs that Chicago Sky Stadium, just the same that Caitlin does in Indiana. So it's very, very, very good to see her being such a amazing, panning out to be such the amazing player that she is. Happy for her. Keeping with the rookies, let's stick there. I'm a little out of order here. So Caitlin Clark, she was in the news, what, three times this week?
Literally, yeah, three times, I
Yeah,
think.
big surprise, right? I know everybody. So the first one and the funniest one
This blows my mind.
is the stat that came out this week is that 17% of the flagrant fouls in the W this year have been committed against Caitlin Clark.
Which is
And then
unsurprising.
you dashing informed me that beyond that, of those 17%, 80% of them are solely from the Chicago Sky.
Yeah, against Caitlin Clark. Mostly. So,
So the well no so the seven yeah the 17% of those fouls against Caitlin,
and then the
80% of
80%
those
fouls
are from
from
Chicago,
Scott. You're
and the
right.
other 20%
So
from the rest of the
from the
league.
rest of the league. So
So
take that as you will of like the rivalry hate, I
between
guess.
Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark.
Right.
So obviously Angel's team is defending her when they're playing Clark. So
And
yeah, I thought
she's
that
still
was just
putting numbers.
hilarious.
She's still putting up numbers on him
And
too.
she, yeah, she can't be stopped because she has not only helped the Fever clinch their first playoff spot since 2016, but she's also the only rookie to do a triple double twice.
She was the first rookie to do a triple double, and then she did it again.
And she did, yeah, because I believe we covered the first
The
triple
first one,
double like last week or the week before.
and then she did it again.
And she's done it again now. So the first one with two, and she also finished the game against the Sparks recently, 24 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, and shot her 100th three-pointer for the season, which is the fastest rookie to do so. Actually, I believe the fastest W player to do so.
Which,
So
how do you not give her like Rookie of the Year, MVP? Like, just throw all the trophies at her. Like, she's too damn good. She's too damn good.
I mean, definitely Rookie of the Year. I could see MVP going to more of a veteran player.
Yeah, probably. Probably
I
one of
mean,
the
LeBron.
top teams in the league,
Yeah, I mean, not to skip around here because we're in a loop back to a point. Actually, about a veteran, we'll just go into it. AJ Wilson first, 25 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 blocks in multiple games, which is
Insane.
very impressive.
That's crazy.
So we wanted to highlight that one for the Vegas Aces. If I had to pick a W team to follow, actually, it would be the Aces. I love the Aces.
I kind of like the Aces too. I currently don't have a favorite WNBA
Do
team.
we pick, oh my God, do
Oh
we
my
pick
God,
a W
do we pick
team?
W teams?
Do we need to pick a W team? Does this become actually partially a W podcast?
I mean, it's basketball,
Loosely.
so it's basketball, so.
But yeah, what I was gonna say was is that rookie, definitely rookie of the year. I don't foresee her getting MVP
Yeah,
it going to a
soon.
veteran because,
Soon.
as I was gonna say, Mr. LeBron James didn't even get MVP his first season.
That's true.
So he has won it every season. He's basically won it every single season since then. But Yeah, has
That's
not.
fine,
He
though.
did not get it his first season either, but
Caitlin
he
Clark's a
is.
monster, though.
Right, true. Well, so is Mr. LeBron James because he
Speaking
dashing
of,
is nearing 50,000 career points between the regular and postseason.
that's absurd to think about. Just to think about in putting it into perspective, 50,000 points.
50,000 points.
He gets there this year. Easy. He gets there this year,
You
right?
think?
Do you think he gets there this year?
So he's currently at 48,636.
Right. So that's a thousand 400,
Yeah, about
70 something.
1400.
Yeah.
Roughly, I was looking at his stats the other day when I was when I saw this,
Okay.
and just for reference, his highest point scoring season to date is, and this is for the regular season, obviously,
Yep.
is, where's it at? I gotta find the actual, oh, points. Here we go. Is 22,478 points. That was 2005, 2006 with Cleveland,
A while ago.
his third year in the league.
Okay.
Sit in the last 10 years, it has been 2,251, once again with Cleveland. I believe that was the year they won the championship in 18, if I'm correct.
Right.
So definitely a all-star year for him. He has been averaging 15 to 1600, so I could see him doing it this year.
Last year he scored 1800. He had 1800 last year.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. So
this is
it's the first year that he's found his footing with the Lakers.
absolutely within the realm of possibility that he nails this.
And obviously this total does include playoffs as well. So if the Lakers make
Right.
the playoffs again, there's more points you're adding to that total as well.
Pad that stat. Pad it. Pad it down.
The
Nobody's
only
catching
question
him.
I have is,
Yeah.
he distracted this year?
With
He has an
Bronny?
extra
No. No.
distraction.
No, he doesn't. No, he isn't. He's already come out and say that Bronny's not even allowed to call him dad on the court. Like, LeBron is a consummate professional. He knows what he needs to do. He knows what needs to be done. I have complete faith in him that he'll be fine. Because he'll be fine.
All right. I mean, it's LeBron James,
It's
so.
LeBron James. Exactly. But speaking of LeBron James, from the Olympics, his good buddy, Steph Curry, a 1-year extension,
Getting paid.
$62.6 million through 26-27 season, now a guaranteed money contracts on $178 million total, and over the next 3 years on his deal, and he will pass $500 million earned in career earnings.
That's just insane. That's just insane. I don't even know how to.
Think about that number. Oh
I don't
my
even know
God.
how that to wrap my head around. Right?
That's
It just.
what, 8 zeros? Like,
It's a lot of
that's a
zeros.
lot of zeros.
It's a lot of zeros. More zeros than I'll ever see in my life, that's for
That,
sure.
yeah, same. No, I barely envision five, you know what I mean? Like in my bank account at one time, and
No kidding. No
this
kidding.
guy's got like six on the regular.
No kidding. Unless Fox Sports signs us to a big broadcasting gig, I think
Hey, you know, maybe one day.
maybe one day.
Future sponsorship from one of the big four coming in. I feel it.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. But
Official podcast of the insert sports franchise or sports league here. So I'm ready for it. Sign us. We're
yeah.
ready.
Keep a lookout for that, everybody,
Yeah.
for our big breakout.
It's happening. It's happening.
But I think that's about all from us today. So I hope everybody enjoyed.
I think so. And, you know, be sure again, check us out, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Prime, podcasts, whatever, wherever you might watch or listen to your podcast for more. Be sure, like, comment, subscribe, comment, you know, whatever. Tell us we're idiots. But, you know, where applicable, do your thing.
Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
And we're done rambling, so be free.